But if you drop the letter.
Brother David.
Yes, sir.
Don't you guys think he looks like Robert Redford, except he's more handsome? Come up here, Brother David, and lead us in prayer, if you would, please. We'll get a celebrity up here. They'll look at him and think it's Robert Redford.
Quick prayer. Okay. Our God in heaven, we are so happy that we can praise and worship you this evening. Guide Jim throughout the length of the class and open our hearts and our minds to the teaching that he's studied so hard for this week. We pray for those in our Sunday school class, our church, and all those who couldn't be here tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:16. He looks more like Robert Redford than Robert Redford does. When I lived in Fish Lake Valley, there was a man up there that looked like Lee Marvin. Through the crossing of the T and the dotting of the I. He looked more like Lee Marvin than Lee Marvin looked like Lee Marvin. And people would see them and they just, oh, there's Lee Marvin. You know, when they see him, you know, they were, and he even went on a movie set one time and they got, the cast got mixed up with him, with Lee Marvin. Now that's pretty close, alright? Anyway, It was pretty fun when you get around him and go around in public, the people just it was funny. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 14:16. What is the subject, Brother Peter? Dick and me.
14:16.
Well, the whole section is
about the misuse of tongues.
Yes, misuse of tongues. Misuse of tongues. Well, the misuse of tongues. What was the purpose of tongues to begin with? What was the use of tongues? What was the purpose of it? Why did they have the gift of tongues? What was the purpose of it?
To get the gospel out.
So they could preach the gospel to people that did not know the language that they were speaking. Mm-hmm. All right? That's the whole story. Now, did the church at Corinth have some problems with the gift of languages? That was the most pagan place in the Grecian world. And the pagan temples up there, all of them had the gift of tongues.
The ecstatic
gift of tongues was not what?
Gibberish.
Was not what the church did. And demon spirits, how do demon spirits act upon human beings? How do demon spirits, how do they act upon human beings?
Well, very unfortunately.
Yeah, but let's go back. How does God act upon you with His Holy Spirit as conviction? Is God calling you to salvation with His Spirit? How does He do? Does He completely control you?
No.
He doesn't grab a hold of you and run you down the aisle, does He? Because He leaves you to what? Your own personal volition. Every angel, every spirit has volition. Okay? But in the demonic world, it's not that way. The demonic world is as real as any tangible thing you can touch in the world. It's real. Demon spirits lead people astray. And they do it by force. And they are captured by demon spirits. And sometimes they are possessed by demon spirits. Now, can a child of God be possessed by a demon spirit? No. You can be bothered by them. You can be pestered by them. You can be tormented by them.
Oppressed.
That's a good word. But you cannot be indwelled by them. And you cannot be possessed by them. You got the cure. Okay, so to speak. The Holy Spirit, when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, and the Holy Spirit comes into your life and saves your soul, and then your life changes, doesn't it? Because of the influences of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a child of God, can you do wrong? Did God let you do wrong? Does he whip you when you do wrong?
Sometimes.
Yeah, he always does. I can guarantee you, if you're a child of God and you're doing the wrong thing, you're going to get a whipping. I can guarantee you that. Daddy may not whip you, Mom and him may not whip you, but God is going to whip you. Now, God does not whip the devil's children, according to the book of Hebrews. If you are without chastisement and you're a child of God and you don't get any chastisement, what's it say?
You're a bastard.
You're not a true child of God. You just say you were. Because if you're a child of God, you will be corrected. Because God loves you, He will correct you. He will correct you. Now, demons. Demons. Demons are forceful. Demons are violent. Demons take control of people. And people will say in the tongue movement, I couldn't help myself. The Spirit took control. Now that's different than what the Bible teaches, isn't it? The Spirit doesn't take control of you to where you can't think for yourself, does it? But that's what's going on in the Corinthians. In the Corinthian church, they were doing this. And in the charismatic movement today, they were doing this. Okay? Epe, 14:16. Eon, eulogoes, en pneumati. I better put my glass on so I can see what I'm reading. Ho, ana pleron. Ton, topon. Tu, idio ton. Pos, ere, to, amen, epi, te, si, eucharistia, epede, ti, leges, uk, uidein. Can anybody conjugate leges for me from the root lego? Huh? Oase, omenete, ucn. That's what you say. Say it together with me. O, ace, a, omen, udi, ete, usi, ein. O, ace, a, omen, ete, usi, ein. That's how you conjugate present indicative active verb. First person singular, second person singular, third person singular, first person plural, second person plural, third person plural. Okay? And right here, it's O, ace, a. So what is this? Third person singular, present indicative active. All right? Since if ye may bless, say something good in the Spirit, and the one occupying the place, look at the word occupying there, ana plero, filling up, that's what it means, filling up the place, the whole house is full of. Filling up, occupying. The one occupying, present participle, active, nominative, singular, masculine. The place. What place? What place are we talking about? What's the subject here? What? Who's speaking? Who's speaking in this letter? The Apostle Paul. Who's he speaking to?
Church.
To church at Eve. So somebody fills up the church house. The room, the meeting room. Okay? The meeting room is filled up. And then there is an idiot in the room. Is any idiots in this room here? Any idiots here?
No.
Anybody? Idioto. 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 That's what it is. Say idioto. That means to talk to yourself. All right? It means idiot, but also it means an ignorant one. It means one that is unlearned, and that's what it means here. One that's uninstructed. How do you like that? When somebody calls you an idiot, they just mean literally that you're uninstructed. You haven't learned anything yet. The uninstructed one, how shall he say the amen? Now, if you are saying the blessing over the food, And you're speaking in a language that these people don't understand. You're using your so-called gifts of languages. And nobody in the house knows what you're saying. How in the world, if you have offer the blessing on the food, how can anybody know even to say amen at the end of it? What's amen mean? It comes all the way from what? Where does it originate? Persian. Persian. It goes from Persian into what? Hebrew. It goes from Hebrew into Greek and Greek into English, and it's still amen, isn't it? Well, what's it mean? It means what? It means to hold something up. It means a prop. That's what it literally means. And then we get, which it means so be it, or yes, indeed, or most affirmatively. Okay? In other words, you can't agree with somebody when they're offering the blessing. At the end, everybody says amen, huh? When you're having a prayer in church, everybody says amen. When Brother David was preaching up or speaking up here a while ago and leading us in prayer, at the end you say amen. All right. How do you know how to say amen if you don't know what the man's saying? Epitase, at the upon in your thanksgiving prayer. Since what you say, not he has known. He didn't know what you're saying. You guys are playing games in this church, he says. You're playing games with these so-called languages. If somebody really did have the gift of languages to speak to some Hindu someplace, and you're using this gift of language in the church service, right now, I speak Hebrew and I speak Greek. I might even throw a little Indian at you, or Spanish, or German, or whatever, every now and then, but I usually explain it, don't I? It's not unknown. Pelamaya, Dakota. What's Pelamaya mean? Pelamaya, grazie. Gracias. Alright? That means thank you in Lakota, and thank you in Italian, thank you in Spanish. Alright? But it comes through the languages, okay. And I explained that. But if I got up here and told somebody, I was half out of it one time. This doctor was working on me and everything else, and he was doing things, and I kept saying, and I was talking in Indian. I was speaking in Lakota to him. And my wife said, he's talking to you in Lakota. I kept talking to him in Lakota. And I don't know where I was, but I thought I was in some Sioux reservation or something. Anyway, if you don't understand the language, what in the world good is it doing? The purpose of languages was to preach to people that didn't know, that you didn't know the language, so you could preach to them the gospel. Now, if you just get up and spout off this, if you're talking in this ecstatic language, like some of these were, that's wrong anyway. Forget that business. That's out of the devil. That doesn't come from God. Okay? But if you even have the legitimate gift of languages and you get up here and speak in Hindu to them, or some other language, dialect, of some other language, what in the world good is it? It's just showing the language off that you've got a gift of languages. That's rude and unclarifying. It is not edifying the church. Okay? Verse number 17 now. See, main, gar, kalos, eucharistes, hola, or all, that is, ho, heteros, uk, oikodomete. For indeed you. That's actually the way it starts out. It starts out with gar, man, see. Now it says see, man, gar, but that's not the right. Right above the gar, you can write one, and then two at man, and three at see. For indeed you well, good, giving thanks through prayer, eucharistes. Second person singular, present indicative active. All right. O8A, omen et usiane. Remember that again. So which one is this? Present indicative active is real easy to remember. I didn't ask you to remember all the different conjugated forms of all the different verb forms. But this is easy. It's present indicative active. Oesei, so it's second person singular, present, indicative, active. Eucharistio is the root of that. See that? That means to say good, to give, to give a good gift. Give a thanks through prayer, but strong adversative conjunction. Page 15 is where it's found in that little book right there, brother. Ho heteros. Heteros means a different one, a different kind, a different species. But the one different, not he is built up. All right? The different one, not he is built up. Penny, do you have your little Amplified Bible open there? Do you think you could come up here and read these last two verses for me, please? If that's all right. We'll see what the Amplified... The Amplified Bible always uses unknown tongues. The word unknown is not there.
Okay.
Okay.
Excuse me. Otherwise, if you bless and render thanks with your spirit, thoroughly aroused by the Holy Spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider or he who is not gifted with interpreting of unknown tongues say the Amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? To be sure, you may give thanks well or nobly, but the bystander is not edified. It doesn't do him any good.
That's right. How about if you heard a whole sermon? It was a great gospel sermon in some other language that you didn't understand. Is it going to do you any good? How could the Holy Spirit even convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come? What happens when the Holy Spirit works on a person's life? As a lost person, first of all, what does he do? The Holy Spirit leads you to salvation. Now, you can say no. Boy, every time you say no, it's danger, boy, danger. You're walking in the mouth of the lion of hell. Okay? It's dangerous. But the Holy Spirit doesn't drag you to Him, does He? He woos you with love and saying, come here, you need to be saved, you need to be saved. Why do we need to be saved? Because we're all sinners, don't we? If you're a Muslim, these guys we had, you know, last week, they had the Boston bombing. How many of you knew, saw anything about this? You see these people's face and stuff? They had them on television. All that kind of stuff, you know. All right? You know all about this. You know what they did for their families? That Boston, the guy that died, you know what he did according to Muslim theology? You know what he did for his family? First of all, the Muslim religion does not believe that any man could die for another man's sins. That's what they say about Jesus. That Jesus couldn't die for anybody's sins. They don't believe in substitutionary salvation, that every man stands on his own, except deceptions through every rule. Like the English language, you know, there are all kinds of exceptions to the English language, to the rules. A-E-I-O and O-U, except after, you know, except, except, except. The Muslim world, if you die and you are killed for the Muslim religion, for Muhammad, you can choose 70 of your family to take them right into heaven. In other words, you have died a substitutionary death for 70 people. And not only that, right now, right when you die, according to Muslim theology, you get 70 virgins to wait on you hand and foot in the afterlife. They'll bring you glasses of tea or water or coffee or whatever you want. And wait on you and bring your food and fan you and all this kind of stuff, you know, and meet all your needs. That's what they did for the families according to their religion. All right, that's what they did. But the Bible teaches that Jesus is the only substitute for our sins. We will go to hell, and once you leave this world, there is no way out of hell. You don't get to go to purgatory. You don't get to cleanse your life. I've heard people say, well, when he dies, well, after a while, maybe he'll get to go to heaven. After you die, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't repented of your sins, you get to go instantly to hell forever. Hades. Then you're resurrected in your body, and then you're thrown into the lake of fire forever, where you can burn forever because you have rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior. Only now can you do that. I'm not going to die for anybody.
Go back to that for a minute, this verse.
Yeah.
What you read had the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That would have the Greek word hagios.
Yes, it would.
Some derivative.
Yeah, that is explaining. It says unknown tongue, it says Holy Spirit, and all this kind of stuff. That's an explanation. Sometimes it's good, but right here it throws the word unknown in. Now, it really means a language that nobody knows. But the King James Version did a lot of violence to the Scriptures when it said unknown tongue, because now they do this ecstatic thing that came from paganism. All right? Number 18. Paul spoke many languages. He spoke many languages. Paul died once, didn't he? Here we have one person that died and was sent back to the earth. You're not going to find a whole lot of that going on in the Bible. A lot of people, two people told me, oh, I died and came back. We hear about now so-called Christians dying and living in heaven for 5 minutes or 30 minutes and then coming back. Baloney. That's not going to happen. But Paul did it for a purpose. God had a mission for him. And he was stoned. How many times was he stoned? You stoned to death, weren't you? Well, you didn't stone people just to be throwing a rock at them. Have you ever had somebody throw rocks at you? I've had people throw bullets at me. They threw rocks at people to kill them. Paul was stoned and taken out and put in the garbage pit. And he walked off. Now he said, I knew a man. Was there in the body, out of the body? I don't know. So many years ago, was caught up into the third heaven. He heard language that you could not repeat on earth. And saw things that he cannot say. Paul spoke many, many languages. I don't know how many languages he spoke. I know he spoke Greek, and I know he spoke Hebrew, and I know he spoke Aramaic. Okay? But he knew many languages. And then he even communicated with angels in whatever language they speak. While he was in heaven, he says he did. Eucharisto.
Eucharisto.
To? Theou. Pantone. Himon. Malon. Glossias. Lalo. In here we see two present indicative active verbs, don't we? Always say, omen at UCA. Remember that. Say that again. O A S A omen udi s eti usiang. That is O A S A omen eti usiang. That usi has got an movable nu on the end of it. It could be usin, and we're going to see that after a while. A movable nu. Sometimes they'll put a nu in a word on the end of a word. It's called a movable new. It's not really in there, and you will see it. And when you try to look that word in the analytical lexicon, you have to understand that it's a movable new there, and the new is not there. You'll look it up with whatever is on the end of it. I continually give thanks. First person singular, present indicative active from Eustio. All right. I give thanks to the God of all of you all, the one that belongs to all of you, rather than, this is a comparative adverb, page 257, and it can mean more than, in languages I speak. All right? I speak in more languages than any of you. He did. Paul knew a lot of languages. Paul was a very educated man. I'm sure he knew Latin. All right? He probably knew a lot of the dialects of the Turkish dialects, too. Maybe even some African dialects. Who knows? He knew a lot of languages. He said, here, I know more languages than all of you. Verse number 19 now. Hola, in ecclesia, thelo, pente, lugos, tu, noi, mu, lalese, hina, Kai alus ta te keso. A Murios. We got a word myriad out of that. Myriad, that means thousand. Lugos, logos, that is, in the glosse. But in the assembly, I wish. First person singular, present indicative active. Write that down there. That's fellow, isn't it? Fellow, OSA, omineta, UCA, and I'm driving you crazy with that. I hope you learn it. I had to say that over and over again. I had to stand up, Brother Herbert, stand up and say, present indicative active. Aorist. Perfect. And then we had to stand up and we'd have to conjugate the verbs for him. See, I don't do that to you. I'm doing it for you. But in assembly, I wish. Five words. Five words according to intelligence. Noe. That's one of the words for mind right there. In a intelligent language of me to speak. Paul could get up and speak to them in biblical Hebrew, and they would not even, the Hebrews would even know what he was saying. Because most of them didn't know biblical Hebrew. They knew Aramaic, but not biblical Hebrew. In order that also others I may instruct. Kate keso. First person singular, first aorist subjunctive active. See, there's another one. Katekeo. That I may instruct, that you may down have. That's what it literally means. That you may down have. When you down have something? When you got it in your hand. When you own it. You down have it, don't you? You down have something? How many of you down have a dollar in your pocket? That's down having. Kata echo. To down have. Then, Mirius. 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 Stephen. How many RPMs does those little engines that you build and put on those airplanes, how many RPMs do they turn per minute?
About 15 or 16.
15 or 16,000 RPMs per minute. Okay. That's 15 or 16,000. This is 10,000 right here. I had a friend that just recently passed away. His name was Ron. And he owned 10,000 RPM. Have you ever heard of 10,000 RPM? He was the one to build all the clutches for all the race cars. Clutches that would hold together at 10,000 RPMs. That's what this is, Mirius. Mirius. 10,000. 10,000 RPMs. Mirius of words. 10,000 words in a language. In a language that people don't understand. You could get up and speak 10,000 words in a language that people do not understand. I was on the radio the other day, and my hands are swollen. See that? I have been writing so much Hebrew. I've been just writing and writing and writing and writing, trying to get the book of Exodus done, because I'm almost finished with the book of Genesis. By the way, if you want to hear prophecy, go to the Sunday afternoon class in Genesis right now. That's pure prophecy. The end of the book is all prophecy. Okay? It's good. Anyway, I'm about to finish with the book of Genesis. I've done 135 classes so far, and we might do 140, maybe. That'll be the end of it, about five more classes or so. I'm trying to get the book of Exodus done. Writing, 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 writing. I was on the radio the other day, and I was writing, and I was writing down the pronunciation of all the words. And they said, what are you doing? You're not saying too much. I said, well, I'm writing. Well, tell us what you're writing. So I spoke off like Barashit Bara, Elohim Ethashemayim, Leath Arat, and I spoke of two or three verses of Hebrew for them. They said, that sounds funny. They didn't know one word I said. And I could have read the whole book of Exodus to them, and they wouldn't have known anything I said. I could have read the whole book of Genesis to them for the 135 classes that I've done, and they wouldn't have known a word that I said. They said it sounded real cool. Now, if I could, you have been in my Greek classes for some of you for quite a while, Brother Randall, for years and years. If I said NRK ain't Hologos, Brother Randall would know what I said. How many of you would know that? Okay, Brother Dick, you know what I'm talking about. That's part of John 1 and 1.
That's all of it, though.
How about Kai Hologos Sarxageneto? What verse in the Bible is that? How many of you know that? Kai Hologos Sarxageneto. Randall? David? They've been doing around. David's been in the classes for 10 years, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least 10 years. Okay, plus. That was John 1:14, by the way. You're initiated. You've been initiated in it. But how many words would, if I read and started reading the Greek New Testament, how many words would you get? One of the most beautiful sounding chapters in the Bible. Let's just see how much you get. I'll just read two or three verses and just see how much you get it. Okay? You are in the Greek class, aren't you? Okay? Paulus Apostles Christu Jesu. Di Philematos, Diu, Tois, Hogeos, Sus, Usin, and Ephesu. Kai Fisiois in Christu Jesu. Carissimen Kai, Reni Apothiu. Patros in Men Kai, Curio, Esu Christu. Eulogotates. Eulogetos, ho theos, kai pater, tu, kirio, hemon, esus, katu. Ho, yugo, eulogetos, hemas, en pasa, eugalia, pneumatica, in tois, uperanois, in Christu. How many words did you get out of that in your integrate class? You got Christu. That's what? Christ. All right. Did you get Paulus? Paulus is Paul. All right. Esu, you got that one. Christu, you got that one. That's pretty common. Thelematos. How many of you got Thelematos? What's Thelematos? Thelematos, that means spiritual activating force or the will. See? These are all words that we could study that or have. How many did you get? I could read 10,000 words. And even though you know some of the language, it wouldn't do me any good unless I interpreted it, would it? Would it? No. I'd just be wasting the words, beating the air with words. That's all. That's what Paul said. Beating the air with words like a shadow boxer. Adelphoi. Made. Paideia. Geneste. Teis. Teisen. Alla. Te. Kakia. Ne piazete. Teis. De. Basin. Tileo. Tileoi. Geneste. Brothers, vocative plural masculine. Write that down. Vocative plural masculine. Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. The eight cases of Greek. This is the vocative case is what? What case is that? Huh? The case of address. I'm addressing you. I would say David or Roger. In Greek, it would be ending with the vocative ending on it. So this is the vocative plural. Vocative plural masculine. Brothers, not children. Paideia, paideia, paideia. What does it mean, paideia? What's paideia? There's lots of words for children in Greek. Paideia. What's that mean? A spanking child. One that's corrected, old enough to give a spanking to. You know what there, Stephen? One of these days, if you're lucky, you're going to have children. And when they get old enough, you'll have to spank them. You don't spank babies. I mean, I've seen women spank babies and stuff like that. That's nonsense. You don't spank babies. All right? You spank children that are old enough to know why you're there getting a whooping. Napios. Napios is what? A speechless baby. This is a spanking child. This is a speechless baby. Technos. Technos, Brother Roger.
That's a live birth.
Okay, that's a live birth. Technically, our word technical comes from that word. See, these are words for child in Greek. And then, wheels.
Air.
That's the air. That's the firstborn. Okay, now let's go look at these words because they're all here. Most of them, anyway. Brothers, not little spanking children, trainable child you become. Y'all supposed to be children. All right? Not children. Ye become, second person plural, present, imperative, middle. Don't do this for yourself. Don't become a child again. You're already supposed to be past that age. When you're 20 years old, you shouldn't have to get a whooping. Some people need a whooping. We raise our children to be eternal children today. You know that? So many times. Eternal children. But we try to make them adults. We try to make them learn how to work. We try to teach them responsibility and everything you can do. And maybe we can get them that way time they're 30 years old, if we're lucky. Back in the biblical days, when you were 12 years old, you were an adult. Back when I was growing up, I started working like a man when I was 7 years old. 7. In Europe, when a child was 5 to 7 years old, he worked like a man. He went to work in the labor force. By the time they were 12 years old, they could get married and have kids of their own so they could use them for their labor, homegrown labor force. All right? Don't become little spanking children. In the minds, in your minds, that's the word frame right there, frame, in your intellect. But in the kakia, that's the word for Adamic nature. That's the wicked mind. That's the mind that leads you astray. That's the mind that you inherited from your father. I'm going to tell you something. You didn't get any bad things from your mother. There's a lot of women that are bad. I'm going to tell you that. There's some real bad ones. I run into some of them in my life. But you didn't get the sin nature from the woman. That woman didn't get the sin nature from her mother, and that woman didn't get the sin nature from her mother. It came from her father. Now, I didn't say women aren't bad. They can just be as bad or more wicked than any man in this world and more violent. But the sin nature comes from the man. As an Adam, what? All sin. Not an Eve, but an Adam, all sin. Eve was going to bring forth the Messiah child, the sinless one. But he'd have to have a father that was God. In the Adamic nature, ye become speechless babies. Now, in the Adamic nature, be a little newborn speechless baby. Don't practice sin. If a child of God practices sin, you're practicing trouble. You know that? You're heaping problems on yourself. Ne piazete, second person plural, present imperative active. That's the napios. That's that speechless baby. Become like a speechless baby in the minds of in the minds. And then it says mature ones brought to an adulthood, grown up ones, mature nature ye become. Make your mind, set your mind on becoming an adult. A mature child of God. Don't walk around. How many people today, we're plagued in this age of the church age with children of God that don't want to learn anything about God's Word. How many people are in this class tonight? This is called a discipleship class, isn't it? For the church members that want to be disciples, you go and learn things. There are children of God out there that are napios and brafos. There's another one. We didn't put brafos up there. Brafos. A brafos is a briefly born one. It even can be an infant in a mother's womb. A lot of children of God want to stay babies in Christ. I just want to feel good. Tell me something that makes me feel good. Go to church to feel good. Tell me a good story so I can go out and feel good and I can go out and challenge the world tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with that, but what are we supposed to be doing in this world? Supposed to be learning the Word of God. Learn the Word of God, and what does the Word of God do to you? You become mature and you become teachers of the Word of God. Teachers of the Word of God. keep on becoming adults. 14:21 now. In to nomo gegrapte hote in eter o glosios glosios kai in kaleison heteron laleso to lao tuto kai ud ud say ud. That's a soft delta, by the way. Ud. That's like a dolop in Hebrew. A dolop can be hard and it can be soft. It can be like a D or a DH. In the same way in Greek. Right here it's like a DH. Ude. Or ud. Hutos. Eis akusonte. Lege. Kyrios. In the law it has been written that in other languages and in lips of others of a different kind, I shall speak to the people this. Why? What happened back there in Isaiah 28 chapter? What happened? Israel was carried off because of their sin, weren't they? And they got to hear people speaking in a barbarian language. And they had to learn the barbarian languages. Matter of fact, when Israel came back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, they couldn't even speak their own language. They had forgotten their languages because they got off over there in Babylon. I know that the Jews are very proud of knowing biblical Hebrew, but it's not really biblical Hebrew today. They laid that language down in history. Of course, they're so proud. They say, well, keep it, and we can all this kind of, you can believe that if you want to. I believe the Bible because what the Bible says. I will carry you off and you will speak in a language that is not Hebrew. Now, by the way, this is Paul's translation of the Hebrew Bible, not the LXX, not the Septuagint. This is Paul. He's translating Hebrew. By the way, the book of Hebrews does not quote from the Hebrew Bible at all. It only quotes from the Septuagint. Paul is writing his own translation of the Hebrew here. He's interpreting this for us from the Hebrew language. Paul's translation from the Hebrew text. Other different languages I shall speak to the people this. And not, neither, thus, or shall in this way they shall hear, says the Lord. They won't understand what they're hearing, says the Lord. 2 Kings 18:26-27. When Israel was invaded, Isaiah 36:1-22 and 37:1-20. 2 Kings 18:13-19 and 19. 2 Kings 19:37. This is the fulfillment of what's going on there. Okay? If you want to learn different languages, all right, maybe you'll get carried off. Often by some foreigners, and you'll have to learn their language. I don't understand in America why people can't speak English language. Even us Indians had to learn English. They wouldn't even let us speak our own language. They beat the tar out of us. They cut our tongues off. They washed our mouth out with soap. Poked our eyes out. Beat us for speaking our own language. And this is our country. We had to learn English. I don't know why everybody else can. But they have the driver's license and the Korean and everything you can think of. Especially Spanish. Every time that we speak and give a Spanish-speaking person and concede to their ignorance, we've insulted them. They ought to feel insulted if we say you can't learn to speak English and live here. You'll live here and work in this country, then you'll need to learn English. Because this is an English-speaking country. You know that you go down and go to work for Walmart and stuff, you have to learn at least Spanish? You have to be bilingual. That's nonsense, people. That's my little
spiel. It's a fact of life, though.
14:22. Jose, hey Glacia, Ace, Simeon, Aeson, U, Tois, Bistiusen, Allah, Tois, Apistois, Hey, De, Prophetia, U, Tois, Apistois, Allah, Tois, Feast of Houston. Remember what I told you? Not O-A-S-A-O-M-A-N-A-D-U-C-A-N. You'll see that over and over and over. So then, the languages are for a sign. The gift of language is for a sign. To whom? They are not to the ones believing. This is not for you to play with. If you're playing with these demonic languages and demonic spirits that are taking control of you, you better knock it off. You better check your salvation level, whether you're even saved or not. But to the ones not believers, unbelievers, and the prophecy, not to the unbelievers, is not their mail. Prophecy is not for unbelievers. You can go to a prophecy conference and everything. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not your mail. The first mail you need to get is that you need to be, say, Lord, forgive me and save my soul and give me new life, eternal life. Right now, you're living in eternal hell if you don't know the Lord. You're in eternal death. What's the second death? The lake of fire. You die the first time, don't you? We're all going to die the first time. All children of God and even lost people, we're all going to die if the Lord doesn't rapture us, save people. But we only die once. How many times does a lost person die? Twice. The second death lasts forever. And it's a pain. You know, dying hurts. Did you know that? Dying hurts. Because usually when you die, what happens? What happens? I remember the story about Audie Murphy. Audie Murphy killed, I think it was 341, if I remember right, German soldiers by himself. That's how many he killed. One time, six tanks and 250 soldiers came at him in one battle. Okay? This is one battle. And he got up on top of this tank destroyer that was burning and could blow up at any minute and ran and shot a 50 caliber machine gun until he killed all the 250 people, stopped one tank and turned them around, was calling in artillery all his time by himself. This is the one man's army. Another time, he was out there and he took out about six or eight machine gun nests. And every one of them had German soldiers in it feeding the machine gun. And he alone went up there and killed every German and took them out by himself. In 1971, America mourned because the greatest hero in any army in any war ever to be got killed. He didn't kill what the whole German army couldn't do. This bad pilot that they had hired to fly these seven people to build these prefabricated homes. Audie Murphy was getting into the business. Audie Murphy was a good pilot, and he could fly under the hood. What do you do when you fly under the hood, brother?
All instruments.
All instruments. You don't have to see anything. This man was not trained, and they were in bad weather, and he did not have any instrumentation. No qualifications for flying under instruments only. And he crashed that airplane into the side of a mountain in Virginia and killed every one of them, including himself. Audie Murphy could have flown that airplane if he'd have known that pilot didn't have an instrument rating. Audie Murphy could have taken over, and he was sitting up there with him. He could have taken over and flown that airplane. But the man was dishonest and didn't tell these people, I don't have any instrument training. I'm out here doing something that I really are not qualified to do. If he'd have done that, Audie Murphy would not have got killed, nor any of those other people. Now, tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, all America says, what the whole German army couldn't do, that little old airplane crashed in and killed our most decorated soldier. One of the greatest warriors that ever lived. Even the Germans called him a war god, a titan, because they couldn't believe it. 250 men and six tanks couldn't take out one man. Just remember, seven or eight machine gun nests, he went up there and wiped them all out. single-handed. And this is only just two battles. There was a whole lot of battles he was in. Shot to pieces and still fighting. You're still breathing here if you're lost in here tonight, but that breathing may not last you long. Huh? May not last long. May not last long. And if you leave this world without Jesus Christ, you're lost. You're going to get to die twice. As simple as that. You're going to get to die twice. The signs of tongues were unbelievers. Are you an unbeliever? Are you a believer? Out there in radio world, out there in the website, are you a believer or unbeliever? That these gifts of languages were for unbelievers. Prophecy and instruction in the Word of God is for believers. That's believer's mail. The only mail that a lost man's got is, you need to be saved. You need to bow your head right now and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul and forgive you of your sins. And I know there might be 10,000 people listening to this message out there. And some of them's got to be lost. So, if you're lost, bow your head right now. You don't have to walk away lost. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And I pray if there's one lost one out there, that you convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come right now. And I know one thing, you will not force them to be saved. They have to give their lives to you. That's a voluntary thing. And it's very simple. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. And I'm lost, and I need to be saved. And I know that Jesus Christ came and died for me, and please save my soul because of what He did. And forgive me of my sins, and bring Your Spirit in my life, and guide me from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, and it will be done. That's real simple, isn't it? Now, if you're a Muslim, if you're a Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, any of these things, a rabbi, there's got to be something else added. But that's the end of the message. And that is a true story and all there is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We'll come back to 14:23 next week, will we not? We went from 14:16 through 22. I hate to jump over this stuff so quickly. There's some pretty neat stuff in here. And I'm going to teach you a little bit of grammar as we go along. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. Thank you for your attention. Go out and do what? Something eternal. All right. You're going to do something eternal whether you know it or not. Going to go follow you.
No.